I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise God. Welcome to everybody. It's good to be with each and every one of you. And I just want to praise and thank God for all of you joining in all the prayers we had the other day. I want to praise God for the gift of the unity in prayer. And I just ask to continue to pray, especially, for the tragedy of Camp Mystic and how they were counselors and not much older than the girls that lost their lives, and the girls that were, praise be to God, were saved. But they were not much older than them. I think the counselors were only like 18 years old, 18, 19. It was amazing that so many, and the man who was well into his 70s, I think, who started the camp, again, remarkable that he went out and to risk his life to save their lives. Of course, he lost his life in doing that. And all the first responders, all those, this was such a horrific tragedy. There's still well over 100 people missing that were not found yet. So I ask you to continue to intercede for the families, the friends, the community. So often you realize in a blink of an eye, not only are our children gone, our friends gone, our husbands or wives gone, but in a blink of an eye, any one of us could be gone. I really think we take for granted every day. I really and truly, myself, I say an act of contrition every night before I go to bed. Because you don't know if God's going to call you through the night. And every day I pray that I will live it better than I lived yesterday. So I just think it's important for us to remember how precious life is in all its stages. And I think when we do that, we have a better sense of living life to the full. I know lost many of my own family, and but to lose a child is, regardless of that child's age, the young children, were so helpless. And I shared on the air that I was so deeply, deeply moved And then I actually cried when I found out that those two sisters were found. They had already passed, but their hands were still locked together. And one of them trying to hold on to the other, not thinking about themselves, but trying to save the other. And we could do with a little more of that, too. We should be ever mindful of those that are in our midst. Could be gone in a blink of an eye, even in our own families, ourselves. So I think it's important for each of us to truly live life to the full. I often, time and time again, I've, you know, shared this thought, how easy it is for us to take life for granted. And I guess from time to time, you know, many of us have done just that. I think for all of us, we hear, you know, I'll be going to a funeral again next week, and I think all of us truly forget not only is life sacred, I mean, we know the sacredness of life. That's why we fight for life and to be for life, pro-life, never against life. And yet, I think we take our own life, you know, for granted. We worry about our children, particularly when something like this takes place. You know, you always praise and thank God that as much as your heart aches for those that have lost their children in this horrific, heartbreaking tragedy. Those parents, I'm sure, whose children were found and saved, I would imagine they are praising and thanking God more than they probably would have on that day if it wasn't for what happened. You know, sometimes we forget that all of us make mistakes. We forget that all fall short of the glory of God. And we have our differences our differences with one another. And many times we almost totally opposition many times to others when it, of course, when it comes to life and faith and hope. But we have to remember the people that we need to pray for are those who don't respect life in any of its, not just newborn life in the womb, but they just don't respect anybody's life. And I think we have to remember to pray for those who don't respect life. We have to pray for those who are filled with hate and animosity and, you know, they don't care. They just don't care. It's, for some people, it's power. For other people, it's about being right. For others, it's an advantage point to be, what shall I say, have all the recognition or whatever. But it means nothing. It can all be gone in a blink of an eye. In a very blink of an eye. So I do want to just say, you know, maybe we should in some way add all those people into our prayers. God would not have one soul lost. I know sometimes we think, you know, well, they're never going to change. but there are no hopeless cases. God came for all. You know, he sent his son to redeem all of us, not sending him to get some of us, but all of us. And so as Christians, we have a responsibility to pray for those who are different, to pray for those who certainly don't see eye to eye with us, those who are, what shall I say, have ears to hear and do not hear, eyes to see and do not see, and hearts that have grown cold and hardened. They're really the very people we need to pray for. So again, I just want to praise God for each of you, of course, but I want to also praise God in a very special way, that he would open our minds and our hearts to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the truth that he literally died for each and every one of us. And like I said, sometimes I think we forget that. So my brothers and sisters, I would ask that today, maybe in your own way, maybe don't judge so harshly. Maybe be more open to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just as we're told to, I'm trying to get this up here on my, just as each of us are reminded at Mass every day, reminded in the scriptures that we read, that we're all called to be one. One flesh, one body in Christ. So, don't know what is wrong with this, but I, for some reason, can't get into the daily reading. Could somebody out there bring my phone in, please? I'll pull it up on my phone. And I just think for each one of us, God wants to speak to us today. Thanks. And, you know, he speaks most clearly. People say time and time again to me, no matter where I go, no matter what state I'm in, what country I'm in, they always say, well, I don't hear God. He doesn't talk to me. But he does. He talks to all of us, and to some who have ears to hear, and to those who listen, he speaks to us mainly in our hearts. He speaks so deeply to us in our hearts. And in our heart, we have to ponder what he says. And through the scriptures is the other way. That's his word. That's his living word. And because of that, we have to remember that if it's his living word, he's actually speaking to each and every one of us through his holy word, through the scriptures. And I think you and I, when we read the scriptures, you know, maybe you felt led to open the Bible in a certain way or a certain day, not necessarily reading the scriptures of the daily Mass, but maybe just reading the scriptures to get to know Jesus even better, what he did, what he said, everything about him. And I praise God that we can hear, because if his word is living and it's effective, then that's how he's talking to us. He's speaking to us. It's his word. And through the unction and power of the Holy Spirit, the word on the paper, on the pages, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that word is activated in such a powerful way that he speaks to us in the silence of our hearts. That's not a plug for my book. That's the truth. I always believe that he did speak to us the loudest in the silence of our hearts. And it's important for us to recognize that. He waits to talk to us. Whether, we go to him with our petitions, our thanksgiving, but do we go to him to hear what he has to say? I give a crash course, a little on my Illumina Christi. That's why I take extra days, so I build on things. And Father and I have, 11 years, been doing the Illumina Christi retreat. Might be much more than that now. I don't even know. But I do a thing on ways we can hear God speak to us, how you can discern his word. Is this coming from me? Or is this the Lord speaking to my mind, to my heart, and in my spirit? But I can assure you, one way I can tell you right off the bat that he speaks to us is through his holy word. And his word is, it's like plugging in a lamp. That lamp is just a lamp, whether it's a floor lamp, a table lamp, or a ceiling lamp. It's just a lamp till you plug it into the power source. And when we read God's word in the Bible, it's a word on a page. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, that word is anointed, empowered, because it is then God's living word. And so it's how he speaks to us. And it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful way to not only listen with our ears, but with our hearts, so that we can have a sense of what he's telling us to do. Maybe we're having to make maybe we're at a crossroads in our lives. Nothing's going right. Everything's going wrong. You're out of work. You're just lost your job, or you've just had a diagnosis that shook your world and rocked it. Your children aren't living out their Catholic faith. All these different things. When we take them to the Lord in prayer, and then we open up the scriptures to ask, speak, Lord. Speak to me in my heart, from your heart, heart to heart. In the silence of my heart, may I hear you clearly. And the word it's what happens. It is then the living word. And it's, as the scriptures say, it can pierce heart and soul, mind and body. It can move in such a way in our lives that we can literally be guided and led by the Spirit of God through his living word. It's living, it's effective. It's not me saying this, it's the scriptures tell us that. St. Paul tells us on numerous occasions through the word of God that his word is living, that it's effective, that through his word he enlightens our mind, that through his word he takes our burdens and gives us his. What an exchange, huh? He takes our lives when we offer to him. And he gives us his life through the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's so cool. It's so magnificent. It's such an amazing gift we have. So many Catholics today, we hear God's word in the scriptures. And occasionally we'll open the Bible. But if we just made a practice, you know, hey, digital, here you go. You know, many people don't want to carry their Bibles around with them anymore because the scripture is right on our phones. And because it is right on our phone, we can bring it up at any time for whatever the Lord wants to speak to each of our hearts. We can bring it up, just like I said, please bring my phone in. I can't bring it up on my computer for some reason. And so I began to preach about it because I feel it is so, so important. We're called to preach. This was my saying forever. And a good friend of ours who just had a birthday, John Mendrigal, one of my former radio broadcasters, I used to call him my echo. Because he used to, everything I said, he would repeat it, and the stories I told, he could tell them better than I could. So I used to kid him and call him my echo. But John had that beautiful gift of preaching. And I think we look and say, boy, that person, that preacher, that evangelist, that priest, that nun, that lay person, they can preach the word of God. I remember being at a conference. I don't even remember where it was. I think it was in Wildwood, New Jersey, more I think about it, years ago. And I was preaching, and I hear, preach it, Mama. And here I look out, and my son Sean sitting somewhere in the audience, like I knew his voice, couldn't find him at first. But we should be preaching it. Anita, you should be preaching it. And Bill, you should definitely be preaching it. You're in the healing ministry. We need to bring God's word forth wherever we go. By preaching it, I don't mean standing on a, what do they call it, a box or a crate. But preach it by the way we live. Preach it by giving a word of hope to somebody who's lost hope. I remember my brother Vince, when he was in the hospital. I mean, Anita, if you know her, she could tell you. They didn't give him any, they didn't even move him into a room for 3 days because they never thought he was going to last it. And they were crowded. So they were putting the people that in the room. They didn't think he was going to make it through the night. And praise be to God, he did. And then he had a stroke. And one thing after another. They never thought he was going to pull through. But somebody came and looked with it in his eyes, and they had compassion. And somewhere they had hope, even though they didn't recognize it as a gift of hope. And my brother Vince said, Kath, I almost said Father Bill, and Dr. Bill again, walked back with me into my brother's room. That's another story, how we ran into each other in the hospital. My brother was one of his patients. We came back. I was just visiting Vince. We came back into the room together. And Vince said, when Dr. Bill Egan left when he was leaving. He tapped him on the leg, and he looked him in the eye. He said, well, we didn't think you were going to make it, but here you are. And he said, as he tapped him again, he said, and you're doing better every day. My brother saw that as hope. And I remember clearly, with all my heart and soul, knowing somehow, some way, that just the way that God spoke to my heart, just the way that he assured me, that my brother wasn't going to, that it wasn't his time, and that he would get out of the hospital, go to the rehab, and come home again. And to this day, to this very day, my brother asked me all the time. They were very good, Anita. They were very good to Vince when he was in the hospital. And he asked me every time I talked to him, and I usually speak to him every other day, and he always says to me, how's Dr. Bill? How's Anita? When we can pass hope to somebody, it's an amazing gift. In the gospel today, actually I said, it's about, you know, preaching God's word, speaking his word. And I think sometimes for all of us, do we really believe that the gospel has power? For, you know, do we believe it has the power to change lives and even the lives of others? I do. I know you do. Or you wouldn't even be tuned in today. And because we were giving that power, we've been given that power as a gift. We can't earn it. It has nothing to do with our goodness or our lack of goodness. It's God's gift to us when we believe in the risen Lord, when we believe the teachings of our one holy Catholic and apostolic church, when we believe in the word of God, when we believe in Jesus Christ, there is no other name from which man can be saved, only by the name of Jesus. And so for us, we have to remember that his word is living. It is effective, and it does have the power to not only change our lives, not only to enlighten our minds and our understandings, not only the power, when we take that word into our hearts, to even correct us, deliver us, strengthen us when we are weak, be our light when we're in darkness, be our joy, even in the deepest of sorrow. That's what his word does. That's what his word does. So yes, Lord, I believe. I believe your word can change my life. I believe your word can change other people's lives. I believe you are the word, the living word of God. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry. To be a voice for those who have no voice. To evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Praise God. Went out of the house today, early this morning. Didn't eat breakfast, lunch. I'll be looking forward to dinner, and I grabbed some pretzels. I apologize. But to get back to the Word of God, as I was saying, you know, I know you believe. But do you believe you have the power? Do you believe that whatever's going on in your family life, whatever's going on in your business, whatever is going on in the world, whatever is going on in the universe, God has it. Why? This is the greatest question everybody asks. With these little angels that were taken home, I use the expression, I didn't realize it, but I use the expression that those that were God called home lost their lives in that tragic flood. On Tuesday, I must have used the expression that they were swept right into the arms of God, that the water flowing swept them right into the heart of God. And it sounds beautiful. Of course, it just came out. I mean, I didn't think about it. But it sounds beautiful. But for the people who lost their children, for the people who will never hear them laugh or cry again, for those people that have lost children no matter their age, lost loved ones, a husband, a friend, a wife, a parent, they're the ones we have to pray for. And we pray in Jesus' name, and we're able to speak. He's given us the power, twofold power he gives us, right? The power to speak and the power to act, right? To speak and to act. To speak God's word, but then to act on God's word. And we can act on God's word by bringing him with us wherever we go. In the department store, in the gas station, your office. A smile is the gospel. It's a language that everybody understands. Right? Everybody understands a smile, no matter what language they speak. A pat on the back, or if somebody is ill and you're visiting them, just like Dr. Bill Egan did. A comforting, reassuring tap. Letting them know you care. Letting them know that there's hope. The power of us praying will absolutely, with all the other people praying, affect all those people that lost children. All those people that lost their friends, all those people that lost, the counselors, the people that were, you know, the staff, the owner who began that business because he loved Christ and he wanted to teach others about Christ in their camps while they were visiting there. it is your prayers that will affect that, I assure you. Because why? Because when we pray in his word and allow that to take root in our heart, we have a twofold power to speak in his name and to act in his name. And we got to do a little more of that. And how do we do it? We look back and say, you know what? I prayed for those people. My heart was moved. I hugged my kids a little tighter. I realized they could be gone in a blink of an eye. I praise God that I have my husband or my friends and my family. They could be gone in a blink of an eye. And so for today, about the gospel, I didn't even read it. I got to read it yet. The gospel itself is living and effective, his word. And in the gospel today, we were, you know, just as the apostles were sent out, he said, don't take a walking stick. You know, don't take anything but sandals for your feet. Don't worry about what you're supposed to eat. When you go into a place, those who minister in the Lord's name, they're worth their due. They will feed you. They'll nourish you. You speak to them. Speak my word. Bring my word. It's life-giving. And if it's a family that's a good family that receives you in my name, then stay at that house till you're done doing what you have to do. It's really important that we recognize this very fact of this gospel says, if it's a peaceful house, pray a blessing on them. And then it will remain in that home and on those people. If they don't want to hear it, they're not open to the word of God or the message of the gospel, and that blessing will not remain with them, and it'll come back to you. Do you see the coming and the going of the word? Think about it. You give them a blessing. If they receive it, it stays with them. It's power. It's activity. It's anointing. If they don't receive your word, how many times have you spoken to somebody and they say, I don't want to hear that? They're refusing a blessing. They're refusing the gospel. And you're not going to make them receive it. Only God can open their hearts and minds, change their hearts. But we can prepare the way. And that blessing that you gave them will come back to you. There's power in the word. There's power in the word of God. It's active. It stays or it comes back to you. This is the kind of power that you and I are given. The power to make a difference because his word goes forth through us. You know, not too long ago, I'll say maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, maybe a little less, I was in a grocery store and a woman fell. She wasn't, I wouldn't call her an old woman. She was younger than me, much younger, but elderly. And she happened to be right near me when she fell. I was in the same aisle. Not that she was near me, and I hear all this commotion. I turn around, I see this lady on the floor, and somebody scream and call for an ambulance. So I moseyed on over, and I knelt down. And she was conscious. She was moaning, and she was very sore. But I put my arm on her shoulder. I said, Are you awake and conscious that you fell here? And she said, yes. She said, I'm in a lot of pain, and she started to cry. I said, I can't take away your pain, but I know a man who can. And I said, how about I just say a little prayer while they're waiting for the ambulance? She cried the harder, and she said, please. And I said a short little prayer. Couldn't tell you what I said. Just a little prayer from my heart. The ambulance said not to move or leave her right where she was. Just make her comfortable. Ambulance came. You know, it wasn't long, maybe 10 minutes. Felt like a longer time, but about 10 minutes. And when I moved back, I stepped out of the way so they could put her on a stretcher. And I was turned around. As I turned around, I extended my hand and asked a blessing on all those who would be taking care of her. Next thing I know, I hear, Miss, Miss. And it was a man, and I turned around, I said, yes. He said, she's looking for you. I said, she's looking for me. He said, yeah, the lady that was praying with her. And so I walked back. And I looked at her and I said, do you want to tell me something? Or she said, I want to tell you. I had no fear. I was afraid that I would have a concussion, or I think my shoulder or my knee might be broken. I fell right on this between my face and then to my side. All of a sudden, I didn't have any more fear. I was completely at peace. I'm at peace right now, laying on the stretcher. I'm not a praying woman, she said. But I guarantee you, I'll be praying from now on. I leaned down and I gave her a kiss on the cheek. And I said, God works in strange ways. Sometimes he has to knock us down before we look up. God bless you, and you're going to be fine. Just fine. And I walked away. Never thought about it again. Never heard from the woman again. But that little encounter, just being in a grocery store, who would ever think that that day I'd be ministering to somebody in a grocery store? And then to think that it affected her so much that she told one of the responders to please call out to me so she could thank me. And when I heard her say, I'm not a praying woman, but I will be. I am completely at peace. I thought that was amazing. But that's the power you have. Every baptized Christian, you have the power. And in today's gospel, I'm going to read it. Let me pull it up on here real quick. I think, here you go. I think I will read it. This is from Matthew 10:7-15. I've just told you what I remember, you know, what the gospel is about for Mass today. Because we're given this freely, we have to give freely to others. Okay, here it is. And preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And you say, wow, I could never do that. Obviously you can. He didn't say, if you would preach, if you would lay your hands on the sick, if you would do this or if you would do that. He says, and preach as you go, saying, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. He don't say try to. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. How much faith do we have? It's all about his will, not our will. Do we trust in him? Do we believe he is the healer of healers, the Lord of lords? Do we believe when he says you have the power to heal, to deliver, to even raise the dead? So my brothers and sisters, it's just amazing when you think about it. Let me finish it up. I get so excited when I read the Word of God, I apologize. You receive without paying. You received without paying. Give without paying. Take no gold, nor silver, nor copper in your belts. Right? Like, don't go pack with money when you go traveling to preach. No bag for your journey. Not two tunics, nor sandals, not a staff, for the laborer deserves their food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay with them until you depart. As you enter the house, bless it. And if the house is worthy, your peace will come upon it, which is really Christ's peace. We don't have that power. It's his power. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. You see, it's living, it's effective, it's going back and forth. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town or that household. That's shocking. But that's the power of God's word. That's why he wants us to go out, so that we can, you know, we can share his word. Give those little nuggets. I'm no preacher. Well, guess what? He didn't say it. Get the preachers and get this and, you know, get the people who can speak well and get the people who know my word. Get the people. He didn't say that. He sent them out. He sent his apostles out. Then he sent 72 more. Then he continued to send more. To this very day, every baptized Christian, he sends out. What do you think he gives us this power for? For ourselves? No. No, he gives it to us for others. Be a Christ giver. Give what you have received. It's not for you alone. When we receive it, it's for us. And then we're called to give to others, you know, pass it on. Remember that song? Pass it on. I used to love that song. Pass on what we've been given. Forgiveness, many of us, I'll talk for myself. I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed by Jesus. I didn't even ask for it. He gave it to me. Free of charge for me. But he paid the debt in full for my salvation. No balance due. And he did the same for you. And he wants us to go and just start to share a little bit. You'd be really surprised the different situations you find yourself in. You know, I mean, somebody could tell you, boy, I had a rotten day today. Maybe they're in the office. Maybe they're coming out of the surgery, and maybe they're devastated. Maybe they have a patient that went home to the Lord. And when you're blessed with that gift of healing, medicine, you can take it some way that you failed miserably, that person would still be alive. And that's when you're called to remind somebody in that position that God is the beginning and the end. that only he is the author of all life. The Lord giveth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many times did we think of something we could have said in a situation, but we were a little intimidated or it was out of our comfort zone? St. Benedict the Great, St. Benedict the 16th. Remember what he said? The quote was beautiful. It was attributed to Jim, who did The Passion. Was attributed to him, but he was quoting from Pope Benedict the 16th. We aren't called to be comfortable. You know, it's out of my comfort zone. We are called for greatness. And that means we're called to be Christ givers. To give what he has given to us. There's no way we could ever repay him. The only way we show our thanksgiving and our gratitude for what he's done in our lives is to give what we've been given. I was forgiven. I was purely and simply, absolutely given a gift of forgiveness, of mercy, of healing. I was lost. He wouldn't let me stay lost. He came out to find me, and he called me by name Kathleen, and he drew me back into the fullness of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church when I figured there was no way. You know, I married outside the church. I didn't even know how to come back home. Divorce is common now. It wasn't back then, so many, many years ago. And so I was remarried after a divorce. And I was excommunicated. Now the church didn't throw me out. So many people say, oh, we're not Catholic anymore. They threw my father and mother out of the church. That's not true. That's not true. If you work for a boss who's a pretty great boss, and then you do the complete opposite of everything he teaches you to do, and then he lets you go, whose fault is it really? Same here. If you're born or raised a Catholic, then you have to practice being a Catholic. If we believe in God, in the gospel, and we live out our faith, then if we're really and truly believe in what our teachings of our faith, then we have a responsibility to share it with others. Maybe there's somebody like me out there waiting just to be told, where there's no way. The Lord spoke to my heart and he told me, where there's no way, I will make a way. I had no idea what the heck he was talking about. None. I felt so far away from the church only because I felt like I was taboo. She was divorced. She's not married. She's not married in the church. And I would weep. Because I couldn't go to the sacraments anymore. And my heart was crushed. And then one day, he called me. he called me by name. And he told me, because I was so repentant, so sorry for walking away, so sorry for choosing my will over his will, but I had true repentance that day. And he said, Kathleen, where there is no way, I will make a way. Not only will I bring you home to the church, but I will send you out throughout the church. You will bring my word wherever you go. And here I am, 50 years later, still trying to bring his word wherever he sends me, even in the middle of a grocery store when somebody falls. So my brothers and sisters, can't believe this hour's gone already. I say to each of you, you are called for more. You are redeemed. You are his instruments. And just like any good physician, he needs vessels and instruments that have been purified, so that he won't infect whoever he's operating on. You and I, we've been purified by the sacramental life of the church. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We've been blessed with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're sent out. Seize the moment, my brothers and sisters. We never know if we're in that line that will be called home. Once they're come home, that next line comes. Picture just line by line him calling all souls from all over in a blink of an eye when you least expect it. One day he's going to say, Kathleen, I want you back home with me. And I hope with the grace of God I will be ready. And I say, here I am, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, for all those that are listening today. I want to praise and thank God for the amazing gift of all those who sponsor our programs. This program today was sponsored by a beautiful friend. And he sponsored it for this hour, and it's Bernie O'Neill of the O'Neill Financial Group. The O'Neill Financial Group is an established, independent, family-owned, comprehensive financial services firm with offices in Westchester, Pennsylvania. To contact them, please call 610-836-3131. Say that again. Again, this whole hour was brought to you by the generosity of Bernie. I've known Bernie for years. I was friends with his wife, Terry. And this show is dedicated in Terry's memory, his wife. She was a beautiful, faithful woman. And I can tell you I've known Bernie and his family for years. And when it comes to your financial security, I know he is a man of integrity. I know his business, his family-run business. They are people of faith, people with integrity. So I ask you to remember when you are in need of financial help, go to O'Neill Financial Group in Westchester, Pennsylvania, 610-836-3131. That's it, folks. I can't believe this hour is over. Please stay tuned for Dr. Raimondo, and I'm sure he has a beautiful program on waiting for you to listen to. God bless you, and remember, I love you, and I mean it.